I'm not hearing you yet, John.
Okay, I guess my mic was muted. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, January 20th, 2025. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you could send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up on our scripture reading where we left off last week. We're in the Gospel of John. So we'll be reading the Gospel of John by Alexander Scorby, chapter 11.
Chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way, and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council, and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, What think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him.
Okay, Jen, do we have any questions tonight or any announcements to be made?
Yes.
You go ahead, Jen.
The first question is, I am under a little pressure as to renew my driver's license or not. Knowing the difference between driving and traveling and hearing this subject brought up pretty often, with about a month and a half till expiration, facing this decision with my present knowledge and understanding, what does NLA suggest I do? I know John states that it is good to have one should one decide to drive commercially, and he says he has, but I myself do not have any plans to drive for hire. I do plan on, however, having a photo ID, but still don't like contracting away my sovereign entity via signature. USC 18, Chapter 2, Section 31, Paragraph 6 defines motor vehicle. Paragraph 9 defines state, which means D.C. and federal territories, like tax law. Title 26. And Paragraph 10 defines used for commercial purposes. Can these federal statutes be cited and supplied here, or applied, excuse me, here in Pennsylvania, or any other of the several states for that matter? The state vehicle code is worded a little more deceivingly. This question also goes out to anyone listening in on the call who have successfully decided against a driver's license.
All right. Well, before I answer, by the way, the queue is open, star 6 and a 1 if you're on a phone to get into the queue. And if you're on an app or the browser, you should find a button there to get into the queue. Okay, well, first of all, you can't lose a right. You can't sell a right. You can't sign it away. The rights are unalienable, or inalienable, either one. Unalienable, inalienable means the same thing. So rights being unalienable, they can't be sold or exchanged. They can't be traded away. You can decide not to exercise that right, if that's what you want, but again, you can't lose it. You know, the Declaration of Independence was a covenant with God, and, you know, we asked to live under, to get his blessings and to live under his law, and thereby receive his blessings, and his blessings, of course, is liberty. And we have many, many liberties. Today, of course, is a very special day, Trump becoming inaugurated, President of the United States. I don't know how many things he signed into effect at this point. I know he was going through a list of things earlier on, but I haven't been able to really sit down and listen to all of the things that he signed away into law. Now, it's coming to driver's license. You know, again, you cannot sign your rights away. The whole thing is a fraud. It's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. We still have somewhat of a problem in the courts. We have work to do in the courts. We're in communications. It's a one-way communications at this point. But it's we're in communications with about 30 individuals, well, 20-some-odd individuals, who is part of, you know, Trump's administration, people working with him. And, of course, communicating directly to Trump. We've been talking with them for quite some time, sending them information, trying to educate them into the common law and the problems in the courts. Now, of course, we did send our paper in, October 11th. We sent a presentment with an order to the United States Supreme Court. Thus far, they failed to act, but, you know, it's not really something we didn't think that they would act upon very quickly. I always thought that we'd have to wait until after Trump became president because the environment for them to do anything is just too much stress. And I'm sure they got guns to their head, maybe families threatened, so on and so forth. But whatever the case may be. But things are changing, and I think they're going to change quite rapidly. And then we'll see once what they're going to do at some point. Nevertheless, we did do an indictment on the federal judiciary. And again, you can read the indictment right here on our front page. And you can read the presentment, of course. Last week, we read the indictment. And we put it out there. We're hoping people will share this information and share the indictment. We're up on Rumble, or you can find us on Rumble through going to today's issues on our blue bar here at nationallibertyalliance.org. Come down to the NLA Monday Open Forum videos, click on that, and then you'll find our videos that we do every Monday and Wednesday on this page. We have the Monday videos here. The Wednesday videos is under Bible studies. You'll find it here. We're doing the Gospel of Matthew right now. But in any event, that's where you can get the information, particularly on the indictment, and hopefully people will get that out. We need to get that word out. Now, we're pressing very hard. We did send the indictment to the new Attorney General that Trump had chosen, and we've updated her with all of the information that we've been sending to Trump and the other 20-some-odd people that we've been copying. And the purpose we're sending that for particularly is to educate them. Now, a lot of these individuals, you know, being politicians, a lot of them are lawyers, and they're very hard to get through the common law because they've been so brainwashed on civil law, thinking that we're under Roman law, and some of them thinking that they could possibly, do away with the common law, to abrogate it. And that's not possible either. You can't break a covenant with God. Only God can break that covenant. Now, things are changing in different directions. And I'm going back to driver's licenses. I personally, have a driver's license, and I look at it from the perspective of that it is a, I have it there for identification. of course, open a bank account and different things. You can go to Motor Vehicles and just get an ID card, and that's a good identification that could be used as well as a driver's license. But for right now, it's still kind of dangerous to drive without a driver's license, because if you did get caught, you're going to spend some time in jail. And if you don't mind doing that, then fine, you could do that. I'm not interested in that. I got too many things to do than to be sitting in jail and being bothered with that, and, you know, of course, paying whatever fines they'll press upon me and so on. But anyway, we're still pushing in the courts. We intend on getting our courts back. Once we get the federal courts back, which is what we're focused in on, and I do believe we're going to get those federal courts back. But it's a matter of educating individuals to get behind us, particularly, of course, Trump and the people that are around him. The people that don't have a background in law, they're more apt to be able to understand our paperwork and realize the power and the authority of it all. Nevertheless, even the ones that are ignorant to the law because they believe in civil law, because they were trained in that, they think we're under Roman law, or whatever it is they think we're under. But in any event, the paper that we wrote up as an indictment was clear on all the violations that the courts have been applying upon the people, you know, taking away all of our rights, you know, not even obeying their own law, not permitting anyone to get any justice in the courts when you're up against the status quo. But that's going to change. But it's going to take people to change it. And again, it's going to take this indictment to take effect. And we're going to press real hard on this indictment to push forward that it needs to be brought into effect, and these people need to be removed from power and authority. The damages that these people have done at holding these positions, you know, the judges in these courts, is just so overwhelming. It's just, you know, it's been going on for 40, 50 years. You know, every year it has gotten worse and worse, to the point that they don't even care about your rights anymore. They don't care who hears or sees there, the way that they treat people. But again, that's about over. Things are going to happen. I know Trump is pushing forward to get rid of the prosecutors. There are 94 prosecutors that were appointed for 94 federal districts. They're going to be all gone. This is what Trump had said on numerous occasions. And I'm hoping he's going to do the same thing with the judges. Someone did mention that they heard him say something about the judges, but I haven't heard him. But nevertheless, he needs to do something about the judges, and we will be a thorn in his side until he does something about the judges. You know, we can have all the presumed liberties, you know, we could prevent these people from coming out after us again, you know, again, the FBI or whatever, three-letter agency, IRS, which about is gone. The IRS is done with. There's not going to be any more income tax. That's over with. So that's a major step. But nevertheless, we need to take our courts back, and it's going to take a little time. But I don't think it's going to be that long. Once we get because if we don't have justice in the courts, we have nothing. We have absolutely nothing. All your rights don't amount to a hill of beans, because at some point in time, these tyrants will raise back up. And if people don't step up to do something to prevent that from happening, like starting committees of safety, getting active, exercising their unalienable right of government by consent, okay, that's what people need to do. We need to take our courts back and have, you know, courts of justice. And until we get courts of justice, we don't truly have liberty. Our liberty is always in danger, because the courts do not recognize who we are as a people, number one. They don't recognize that we are under common law, that the word law in the Constitution means exactly that, natural law. Black's Law Dictionary and Bouvier's Dictionary both make the same point. Law is that which proceeds according to the common law. You know, there's lots of other laws that are equity courts or equity law, which are statutes and codes, things written up by of course, our legislators. So it's legislated law. That's what equity is, legislated law. But equity means justice. It's supposed to still be under the common law. The rules of equity is also under the common law, the rules of common law. And we need to resurrect that. We need to educate the people that have the power and the authority. And, of course, that's the Trump administration. We need to educate them. So we will continue to educate them. I've already thought of a couple of different letters we might want to write to them, or, you know, one-pages maybe, you know, educate them, maybe sending out one a week to get continue the education, but also prodding them and pushing them towards doing what is right, and that is to bring justice back into our courts. Now, once justice is brought back into our federal courts, then it's a slam dunk, and we can start dealing with the courts at the state level and also at the village and town levels. And that'll take a few cases to go in before the courts to be decided on and then for to feel the wrath of the people through or courts of justice. And I think that'll move through the country rather quickly. The more people get educated and get into the courts to deal with these problems, the faster it will happen. There are a lot of people that are doing things in the courts, but, you know, if they learn from us and learn what we're doing and the way we're doing things and how to put these people's feet to the fire, then these things will move along quicker. So, going back to the license, I say all these things because we're talking about rights. We're talking about courts of justice, and that's what we need. And so I suggest anybody that's got a license, they might want to keep it, and at least until the point when they don't have to worry about it no more. Matter of fact, we're going to be pushing real hard, hopefully this coming week, start sending out some information and pressing for Trump and focusing in on Trump particularly, because he's the one that has the power and the authority to do something about this, but also, again, the Attorney General that he had chosen and others. Again, we need to free a lot of people in courts. You know, the IRS is gone, but they had their prison going, when you owe someone money, you go to jail because you're not paying the debt. Debtor's prison, that's it. So they have a debtor's prison. It's been going on for quite some time. And now that the IRS is gone, it's time to free all those people that are unlawfully in prison. And they need to be restored because they were unjustly imprisoned. Same thing happens on the lower level where we go to these courts, particularly town courts and village courts and sometimes county courts, where they apply codes and statutes against us for code violations. And a lot of people go in that most of the people in jail right now on the county level need to be freed. I know Judge Bork mentioned some years back that 90% of the people are in jail only because they opened their mouth. In other words, they took a plea. Back then in his days, maybe not taking a plea might have been a lot easier to battle that and frustrate the judges in that system than it is today. Today, they just push right over that and pursue jail if necessary until you're obedient. So you got to be a little careful. I still fight those court levels, but at some point you're going to have to give it once you're threatened with jail. But I think those days are coming to an end. So now once that happens and we no longer need driver's licenses because they can't apply that against us, I don't plan on getting rid of mine. I don't intend to be driving on any commercial for any commercial purposes, but I never know. Who knows what's going to happen? So I'll keep it. It's a good ID. The other thing is, whether it's a driver's license or just a state ID, neither of them should require a fee. It should be free of charge. But you're going to have to get one or the other because you're going to need ID to open up a bank account and to do a lot of different things to get into any place. It's an ID, a state ID. By signing in and saying that you're a U.S. citizen or whatever the case may be on that form does not take your unalienable right away. It does not bring you to a point where you agree to everything that they claim is required, you know, for maybe code violations with a driver's license. Yeah, it's all a lie to begin with. But again, it's going to disappear soon. As long as we, the people, keep pressing it, and we're going to be pressing very hard every time we send a paper in or a letter of some type for the purpose of educating these people and prodding them and pushing them to do something about our courts, we'll share it here on National Liberty Alliance. So anyway, that's all I have to say, I guess, about a driver's license. For me, I'm going to keep mine. But again, if you don't mind sitting in jail, you can get rid of it now. Okay, anything else, Jan? And by the way, the queue is open. Nobody's in the queue. Star 6 and a 1 if you're on a phone, and a button if you're on an app or a browser. Jan?
Yes, there are several more questions. The first is, I am 43 years old. In September 2023, while down at the beach, my parked car was towed, being allegedly parked in a red. While towed, I had my handgun in a range bag locked, and the car was illegally searched, and I was arrested for a concealed weapon. I answered none of their questions, and when asked, my car had already been towed, if they could search my car, to which I said I don't answer questions, as well as I do not consent to any search or seizure of my property unless a warrant was issued. They proceeded to book me against my will. In the jail, they did not even get my name right on the papers. I've been in court since October of 2023. I attempted to file a suppression of evidence and a quo warranto with a file on demand questioning jurisdiction. The judge asked if I would like to request a Feretta motion. I asked to look it over, and from the pushing of the judge to do this, I did. Once I did, I was out in jail for contempt of court for 4 days on $2,500 bail. I have no felonies nor any violent history or gun violations. I was forced to take a PD and transferred from Harbor Court in Newport Beach to West Court in Garden Grove. After three delays in West Court, I was moved back to Harbor and now have had three pushbacks at Harbor and keep getting the runaround to review the body cam footage. I know what I'm fighting against is wrong, but I feel very out of my league in the courts, but I want to do what is right to the law and defend my rights. What would you suggest my next plan of action to be?
Well, let me ask a question, Jan. In the beginning of that, it was a violation, a motor vehicle violation. What was the exact violation?
Well, he basically parked, or the police said he parked his car in a red. I don't know if that's a red no parking, a red fire hydrant zone, or what.
Again, he is right. They can tow it, I guess, depending on where it's parked. I mean, if it's in front of a fire hydrant, obviously that is a problem, and it could be a danger to society. So towing it might be appropriate. I haven't really thought about that too much, but I think it might be appropriate in certain conditions. But he is right in the fact that they didn't have a right to search that car. And then from that point forward, of course, the other charges came about. So I understand that. It sounds like he's trying to make a fight against this whole process when the whole thing, the real battle should be due process. That court is not possible, cannot possibly give you due process. I got to believe it's either a town or a village court. Does he say what kind of a court it is?
No, he did not.
Okay.
Well, it'd be traffic court, I suppose.
Right, but, you know, the question is, well, if it's a traffic court, then, yeah, same thing. I know in Poughkeepsie here they have what's called a traffic court, and they refer to it also as a city court. So, I don't know, it's very confusing. But the bottom line is, most cities also... Here in New York, for instance, I'm not sure in other states, but here in New York, the cities in New York City are supposed to be courts of record, but all other cities outside are not courts of record. And not being courts of record, you can't get due process. Neither can they charge you with any kind of a violation that would be called criminal. So once it becomes a criminal case, automatically all cases must enter into a court of record. And a court of record is one that proceeds according to the common law. So that's what the requirement is. Now, they don't obey that. They don't even know what a common law court, they don't even know what a court of record is. I've talked with lawyers in the past, and they get dumbfounded and say, well, it keeps a record. I mean, that's their idea. And I can see the logic of that if you're ignorant to the law, and that's what they are. The lawyers are ignorant to the law. They do pretty good with the civil law, but the real law, they have no understanding or no grasp of it at all. But a court of record, again, is one that proceeds according to the common law. So these cases must go into that. I would say you have to challenge jurisdiction. Once you discover that they don't have jurisdiction, the United States Supreme Court has ruled on numerous occasions already that once you realize they don't have jurisdiction, it's never too late to make that argument. So no matter what they say, no matter what they do, you can still make that argument. And you have to bring it into the higher court. He said he was in Pennsylvania, didn't he, Jan?
No, he didn't give the state.
Yeah, I think he said Pennsylvania. But in any event, whatever state he's in, I don't know. Pennsylvania is a bigger problem to move it into the state courts because they're chancery courts. And not that all state courts end up being chancery courts to some degree, but I know in Pennsylvania they have no problem saying that they are chancellors and the judges are chancellors and that they run chancery courts, which means there is no jury. The judge is everything. He makes all the decisions. He makes the decision whether you're innocent or guilt. And, logically speaking, the servant can't judge the master. So we have to be judged by our peers. So anyway, here's the point. In an argument like this, trying to win it in the court, you're not going to win it in that lower court. You got to move it. If you're in Pennsylvania, I definitely wouldn't move it into state court first. I'd go right to the federal court. And that might be true in a lot of cases in a lot of states. Here in New York, I would test and move it into the state court first, and then from there into the federal court. And you move it in for cause. Now, you shouldn't have to pay anything for this, although they can press you to get some money out of you, squeeze some money out of you. They've done it to me on an occasion. But the bottom line, if you're being threatened with a crime in a court and being charged with a crime, the first order of business is, where is the indictment? And I'm sure he has not been indicted. You need to push on that and get the court to really respond to the fact that there is no indictment, because that's another position that you can hold as you move it to the higher courts, that there's no indictments, therefore there's no charges against me. These are codes. It has nothing to do with me. They have to do with vehicle violations. They had no right to searching my car. And I think he said it was a weapon in there. Is that what he said?
Yes, he was arrested.
For the weapon. Okay. So the weapon, again, the Second Amendment, the United States the U.S. Supreme Court recently, maybe last year, ruled on that issue very clearly, that there's nothing that can, it's an unalienable right to be able to have a weapon, period, and concealed or not. But, so anyway, the position you need to make is that you're fighting due process, that they have really kind of hijacked you into jurisdictions unknown, because you don't know what the jurisdiction is. It is traffic court, but they call it all kinds of different things. Once they apply a misdemeanor against you or any kind of a criminal charges, again, it becomes a criminal act. And again, due process is not being served because you don't have that ability, first of all, to be charged by a jury. That hasn't happened. I mentioned that. And also the fact that there is no jury, no trial jury. You can win in the federal courts. I would take my time pushing it up because it's going to take a little bit of time, really, to work out the things that we're working out here in National Liberty Alliance, because we need to get the federal courts back. But I think a lot of judges now are a little concerned. They may be a little more careful now, or a lot more careful when you're in court now, because, again, there's a new sheriff in town, so to speak, new prosecutor. Attorney General, there's going to be new prosecutors and hopefully new judges, and we're going to get rid of also, you know, the bar attorneys. Now, there's the original 13th Amendment that's undeniable, cannot be defended against in any way. And we're pressing hard towards that in the courts concerning the fact that there is the original 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment that we know of really needs to be combined with the 14th Amendment. They came out at the same time, so they really should be brought together. But they broke it up in order to really kind of get rid of the 13th Amendment. Which does not permit anybody with a position of honor, a title of honor, and a title of honor that they hold is the Esquire, to hold office. It's against the law. And if they have this title of honor and hold office, then they lose their citizenship, and so they could be fined and lose their citizenship. So again, we still have a lot of work to do in the courts, and I think it's going to take a few months to get things back. Anybody that does have a case going, it also sounds like you don't have enough experience, because you should already understand the strategy to deal with these code violations, and that is ultimately to deal with them for denying you due process. And that's an unalienable right, and that's something you can sue for. Every right that they suppress or violate your exercising of it, I personally require $1,000 in Morgan Silver dollars face value, which right now I'm not sure I think silver, we were looking at the last couple of weeks ago. Eric, what's silver at? Wasn't that around $30 or $28 or something an ounce?
I think the last time I looked, it was
31 an ounce. Okay, so 31 an ounce, that's $31,000. 1 ounce is $1,000 in silver coins is, in Morgan silver coins, it's 1,000 ounces. Each ounce is 26, well, 30 some odd dollars or whatever. So that's quite a bit of money. So, you know, if you're suing a prosecutor and a judge together, you're looking at about $70,000, okay, in the lawsuit for the face value of that silver coins. So anyway, that's my rule of thumb. $1,000 face value, Morgan silver dollars, for every violation of any of my rights. I'm suing a judge right now and a prosecutor, and for two violations. So we're looking at $70,000 roughly apiece, $140,000 in violations. And of course, all my whatever cost and things that I had to pay in my time. So anyway, I think, everyone really should know the law. We teach the law here. We have a course under Education Starts Here. You can come down to our Court Access in the Common Law course. Click on that. It's an 80-hour course, and this will give you all the videos that you can come in anytime, move at your own pace. But our course is $125. It's a 90-hour course. With that, we have all of the forms. We teach due process. We teach how the court system works. So everyone should know this. This is something we definitely need to get into our schools. That's another thing we want to try to work on, is to try to get involved in maybe putting some curriculum together for what's required in schools. I do know that there is a federal law that requires civics being taught. Any school that gets government funding, which is pretty much most of them, and of course all public schools, but any school that gets public funding is required to teach civics. Now, I'm sure I have not seen the civics course, but I'm sure it's pretty much pretty pablum or something. I'd like to really get involved with putting together a proper curriculum, which, a Jefferson education, which he talked about, a proper education. And Matter of fact, I'm going to approach the administration also and ask if we could work with or lead the process of putting together a course for the schools that will teach, you know, real civics, that teach the Constitution, court access, how the courts work, how the justice system works, how our political process works. I know a while back I spoke with Brent Allen Winters, and for those who don't know Brent, he's the author of The Excellence of the Common Law. He's a common law lawyer, and he's written quite a few books, and he was interested in working with me on this project. So that's something I think I'm going to try to move along in the next month or two. Get a hold of Brent, talk with him about it, and see if I can't get the attention of the administration on this issue to see if we can't work together to get a proper education. You know, you got Hillsdale College out there. It's an excellent college. They teach a lot of good things, but they really don't understand the common law. And so there's really no teaching in the common law. And the courts are not taught, the processes of the court and the process of due process with common law is not taught by them or anyone that I'm aware of. And that's what we need to do. We need to get this into our schools. We need to get our children educated. But we're already out of school. But we need to get re-educated here. You know, education is something that should never end for any of us. We should always be on a learning curve. All right, due process is the thing I advise to make the argument, move it into federal court for cause. Again, it doesn't sound like you have much experience, but if you do think you have enough experience to do it, we can help you out with some paperwork on this. Under Education Starts Here, you can come down to the law, and then move over to the right, and you come down to, where is this? I know it's under the law memorandums, or court forms and process, okay? And here's some paperwork and information on moving your case into federal court or into a higher court for cause. And at that point in time, you're looking at suing these people. And again, so you have to have a good wherefore clause, and you can get that information here, and you can get more information in the course that we offer also. But you can get enough information here to do what you need to do. And here's some instructions and forms for traffic court, you know, which works with any code violation court, any town or village, or even city court. You can use these forms for any time they put any kind of a code violation on you. And in the case, of course, of traffic court, that's code violations. But you can work these forms with anything. You just have to, you know, redesign them or work them around whatever the court is and whatever the, you know, the violation might be. So, but there is a process that you're going to want to do. You have to come in. You have to bring an appearance ticket in. You have to do a notice of motion. You've got to do a verified jurisdictional challenge. And that's just the beginning of going into the traffic court. Then at some point you move to the state court for cause, because they're not going to listen to you and they're not going to let you go. These courts never want to let you go. So you may move it into state court, and then you have the option to move it into federal court at the end, or you can move it directly into federal court. Okay. I think the best route to go is the slow route. And the reason I say the slow route is because the more time it takes, it gives a little more time for us to get the courts of justice back. And I think it's going to take a few more months before we get to that point. But we'll see how things go. Okay, next question.
John, 30.60, went up 5 cents since I've been waiting to tell you. 0.60 is silver.
Okay, so 0.06.
30.62. It just jumped up 2 more pennies since we were talking. 30.62.
Okay, that's just over $30,000. $1,000 of face value, Morgan silver dollars, is at $30 and change each, is over $30,000 per thousand. So it's $60,000 if you go in after the judge and prosecutor together, and that's what I do, and that's what I've done, and I'm in the middle of one of those right now. So, Okay, anyway, and again, if anybody wants to get into the queue, we only have one person in the queue, star 6 and a 1 to get into the queue, and if you're on a phone, and app or browser should be a button. Okay, any other questions, Dan?
Yes, we have quite a few left on. The okay. next question is about in personam jurisdiction. We know all the states are corporations. Do state courts, such as the state of New York, really have jurisdiction over all the people who live in that geographical area called New York? If challenged, they are going to merely show your address. I don't work for the state. I sign no contracts with them. How can someone prove no impersonal jurisdiction?
Well, I don't understand what he means by that. In a sense, you know, when I sign my papers in the court, it's in personam, which means in my own person. I'm not coming in pro se, because pro se says I'm representing myself, and that's playing into their game. I don't really see a big problem with that, but that is, you know, again, the words a game of words that they use. You know, jurisdiction. For anybody to have jurisdiction over you, it's only the law that can have jurisdiction over you. Codes and, you know, anything, codes, statutes, regulations, they don't apply to us. But we can use them against them. I use it all the time to apply the statutes, codes, or regulations against them. They're supposed to perform in that fashion underneath those restrictions. And so it's written for them. It's not written for me. And so that's got to be your attitude. The only jurisdiction is the common law jurisdiction. And if anybody, the only way any court, I'm talking law now, of course, the courts are corrupt. They do whatever they want. You got to realize that. And that's what we're working to change. And I do believe it's going to change soon. But the bottom line is the only way that any jurisdiction could be held against you is through a grand jury indictment. That's it. There is no other way. There's nothing else that they could do to apply against us to bring us into any kind of thing that they call a jurisdiction or their jurisdiction. The only jurisdiction we're under is the jurisdiction of the law, which is the law of the land. And so, again, the courts don't have jurisdiction. The whole thing is fraud. Now, it's a big mindset that's got to be changed. It's going to take time, again, to get it all the way down into the lower levels. And again, if we can get it back in a couple of months, I think we can move real quick. If we can get enough people that are educated and we can work together on this, we can do something at every state and sort of, you know, get ahead of the game and go after them directly for their courts. I could not possibly write papers for all 50 states, but working together with groups of people from different states, you know, I can put some paperwork together, we can discuss it, work it out, and start pursuing the process through the state courts. And we can start planning now. Of course, we have to win the federal courts back first, and that's what we're working on. But if we can do something like that and plan it, I'll do it in my state anyway. But we need people who have a background in common law and due process. Because you're going to have to battle that case in that state. And it only takes one case in the state and bringing it up to the state Supreme Court, because that's where we'll have to head up to be. And then, you know, and if we don't get what we need at the state level, at the state Supreme Court, and we've already won the federal courts back, then we move into federal court for cause, and we get them there. Once we get that established in a state, then a lot of people can work off of that. But again, anybody that's in court, you need to understand its process. If you don't really understand, haven't got somewhat of an education on that due process and common law, then you need to get that education. You can get it from us. As I mentioned, the education starts here at TAB. Okay, next.
Okay, the next question. So I had a criminal case that is in appeal, and we had filed my brief a few weeks back. Now waiting on DA's office for their response. They have requested 3+ extensions and all have been granted. Can I file a motion to dismiss at this point in time for them taking their sweet time? What's the best approach to put the pressure on them? What would you do?
Well, I don't have enough information to really say. I don't know what the case is about. You said it's a criminal case, but is it really a criminal case? Is it, just abusing you with statutes? I have no idea what the case is about. So, in each case, you have to really figure out the best strategy. He didn't even say what court level he's in, does he?
Now, this is a five-part question, John, but he never really gets to the meat of the matter. Let's look at two.
Read through the whole thing, and then we'll try to step back one, two. But just read through it, or maybe I'll get the big picture.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I did not, but I hope you will. Okay. I had four charges against me, and I was not aware they had split my charges. I didn't know they planned to have me plea to two and the other two take to trial. How can I rescind my plea to the two charges? The two charges were fruits of the poisonous tree and were not a legal search. The claimed incident to arrest when the incident was a sham to begin with and the arrest was unlawful. Three, because I am able to appeal even though I had a trial by jury, this obviously is a statutory court, therefore they lack jurisdiction to begin with, correct? If they violated my due process rights before my plea, does that make the whole case void, even though I pled the two charges? Five, should I still challenge jurisdiction at this point in the case while going through the appeals? Do I challenge it in the appeal court or in the original court of the case or both?
Well, you can challenge jurisdiction the moment that you discover it, and that could be well into the game. So it sounds like he's well into the case here, and now he can make that discovery. And you start off challenging right there in that court. That's the first challenge. You have to challenge it in the court first, and you have to demand that they cease and desist because they don't have jurisdiction over your person. That's the key. If there's a statute applied upon you, then they don't have jurisdiction. And again, I don't know what kind of a court they're in, whether it's a lower courts as far as the town village courts or a city court or a county court or a state court. It makes a big difference on which court you're in to discover which way to go. Any other thing is what statutes they are applying on you. Are they applying something because maybe you had a weapon? Is it a Second Amendment case? Is it something that is a code violation for traffic? I have no idea what it is. So, but yes, if it's a statute applied, it's a statutory process, and you were if you were indicted by a jury. And when you go to read the indictment and it lays out statutes, well, that's a statutory jury, and the statutory court has nothing to do with me. That's your argument, and that's what you really have to fight and battle. Now, it's an uphill battle, and today, again, is a new day, but it's going to take time for that new day to really, really reach us. They're still under a certain belief system, and we have to change that. And that's only going to be changed through battles, And again, even if we can get Trump to work with us on this and the Attorney General to work with us on this, it's still going to take time to move it through the system. With them working on it, we could do it very quickly, maybe months. But again, we may have to prod them. And we may have to threaten them, too, because, look, they're doing great work. They got the whole, they're focusing in on what to do properly, but they're missing the courts of justice. And no matter what we have to do, we need to prod them, too, and go after them also until they can understand that they need to work with us to get our courts of justice back, because without courts of justice, we have nothing, absolutely nothing. So... all right, next question.
That's the end of the questions, John. You're done.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, we got a couple of people in the queue now. Again, if anybody else wants to get into the queue, it's *6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and if you're on an Apple browser, there should be a button to get into the queue. So we'll take our first caller here. It looks like Troy. You got the mic, I think. It should be open. Let me try doing it there. Go. You got the mic, 780. Troy, what state are you from?
Actually, it's Elizabeth, and it's Ohio.
Elizabeth's from Ohio. Go right ahead.
Yes. And I was wondering, have you heard of a company called Bonds for the Win?
Yeah.
Well, it would seem to me that if these judges or magistrates or whatever you want to call them are not abiding by the Constitution, can we force them or challenge their bond status?
Well, that's what we've been working with that, too, and we've met up also with these people called the Bonds for the Win. We were referring people over to them also. I think we may still have some referrals going over there. I don't know. But from what I'm hearing, though, is they really haven't had any successes either. They might have had one. They talk as if they've got a lot, but I'm also hearing from another side they haven't really got anything. And that's not surprising because, I've been chasing bonds personally for many, many judges for 10 years, and they just don't produce them. And you can't find them. The other thing is we pursue their oaths, and they never respond with their oaths. Now, I have heard, there is a group, I don't know if anybody remembers the name of that group, that is pursuing, those brothers pursuing that with the oaths. Well, what's their name? Do you remember that? Hammonds?
Bronson.
Yeah, they've got a case in there, and they're pursuing the fact that a lot of people in Congress don't have oaths. And if they don't have oaths, they're not holding an office. They're gone, out of there. That may be the same thing with federal judges. It may be the same thing with a lot of judges. I don't know. But they refuse to produce them. They refuse to produce their bonds. We could do a writ quo warranto, but again, doing a writ quo warranto, you want to be in a county where you got a friendly sheriff that is pursuing, knowledge and what he should know as far as the common law is concerned, and that he's a law enforcer and not a code enforcer. And if you can get a sheriff that understands that and you're working with him, and especially if you've got a committee of safety going, you have a relationship with the sheriff. At least that's what you've been working on. Then you can work through that process, because then you can do a writ quo warranto and work with the sheriff to have it executed. Getting it executed without a sheriff is really tough, because, again, remember, they got the guns, these judges and all these lawyers, and they control the courts, and they, do the tighten-up, so to speak, to prevent you from getting in. So it's a problem. Again, we've been shut out totally. There is no court in the United States here that I'm aware anywhere that people are getting justice, common law. I'm not aware of any place. I guess it's possible, but I'm not aware of it.
But the FOIA, but for the Freedom of Information Act, they should produce their oath, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they're not going to obey it. They don't care. Who's going to enforce it? You got to take it into the court to enforce it. They're not going to enforce it. That's the problem. But, look at times, they are changing. We're going to fix this problem one way or another at some point in time, once we can get the new administration, to get going on this problem in the courts. And I do believe they're aware of it, and I do believe they're working on it. But I don't believe that they're knowledgeable in the common law as much as they need or should be. Okay? So a proper education is definitely required.
Okay.
And time is, time's going to give it. But look, it's up to the people to take care of this business. It's up to the people to move this to the courts and make these things happen, and get precedence going, so to speak. Precedence in the sense of requiring them to be obedient to the law, okay? Because that they don't do. So I think the time's coming. It's close.
Okay. Because I've seen the license plates, a few of them actually, that have the do not harass private, I do not consent, this is not a motor vehicle nor driving, no jurisdiction, I have the right to travel freely and unencumbered pursuant to, Shapiro v. Thompson, 394 U.S. 618, 1969. Warning, officers held accountable in their personal capacity. This is your notice, secretcivics.com. I've seen those license plates on the front and the back of cars with no other identifying.
Well, you know, there may be some out there that I'm sure they're far and in between, but they just got a light on flashing to be stopped. I mean, that's what they're doing. If that's what they want to do, that's what we want to do. When I stop by a cop in the street, I'm polite, and I even say thank you at the end of the whole thing and go my way. More often than not, I don't get a ticket, you know. But I have gotten tickets, and then I battle it in the court. I'm not going to bother the cop. He has no clue on what's going on whatsoever. And it's only going to escalate. I'm sure you see it a lot of these different videos out there. Where people give the cop a hard time. Sometimes, you know, on a few occasions where people really know and understand what they're doing and maybe have some success, you know, that's one thing. But people who don't understand and get the wrong cop especially, which I think would be a lot of them, they're going to find themselves in jail. And if that's what they want to do, then that's what they want to do. But there's no sense in arguing with a cop. It just doesn't make any sense at all. It's just going to cause more problems. And you might even get beat up. I have a friend, he was beat up because he refused to comply with the cop. At some point, they just dragged him out of the car, broke his phone, put his face into the pavement, banged him up pretty good, black eye. And then they got him for resisting arrest. And I told him to challenge that because what was he being arrested for that he resisted? And they couldn't answer that, so I guess they didn't plan ahead far enough. And he did beat that case from really making that position. But in any event, there's sometimes when they call out SWAT because there's so much going on with what they claim to be sovereign citizens as if they're dangerous and so on. So that's another kind of a problem that could come up to you. So I don't know. I personally wouldn't do any of those things. You're just looking for trouble. That's all I think that's going on there. And it's too dangerous. But again, things are going to change soon. People have to have patience. Instead of fighting the battle that way, let's fight the battle in a court of law. Let's really take our courts back, and then let's go after these judges and prosecutors, and you know, and let's sue them. And at the same time, you can make some money on it because you know, again, they're abusing you. So let's and they're denying your right of due process. So you have every right to sue them, and that's what you got to do. That's what I do. Not that I'm successful in it, but I got one case going right now that I think I'm pushing it right up to the hilt, and I think I'm going to be successful with it.
Okay. Thank you very, very much.
Okay, we'll take our next caller again, and nobody else in the queue, *6 and 1, if you're on a phone. Should be a button if you're on an app or browser. Okay, let's see. It's Marianne from Indiana. You got the mic.
Hey, this is Marianne, Indiana. And I wanted to mention that today I listened to President Trump's speeches, his inaugural speeches. And he mentioned constitutional courts today. And I remember hearing it and thinking, wow, that is awesome. I was so excited.
What was the environment he was in where he mentioned it? Because I know he did something, he spoke in various places in Washington, at least two or three.
Well, today during his, I was trying to remember which speech it was, because I think it was the one that he did when he walked after he was sworn in, he spoke, but he mentioned it. I think he was downstairs. He went to a different location and gave another speech.
Mm-hmm. You don't recall what kind of an environment it was or anything, because he did do a few of them. I'll have to go and kind of look for that. If I watched it, maybe I missed it. But I'd love to hear about that. If anybody else knows where that we might be able to get that information where he spoke about that,
yeah.
I'd like to hear specifically on what he said. And again, you know, we've been communicating with him with a lot of paperwork and trying to educate him and numerous others, as I mentioned. We're going to continue that.
Yeah, because the way that with President Trump, you outline for him exactly what you want him to do. I do believe that he will do everything in his power to do it.
Well, we've done that. That's for sure. I don't know if you've been listening in lately with what we've been doing. We did
yes.
the presentment with the United States Supreme Court, and then we did the indictment. We did an addendum also to the grand jury presentment, and we sent all of that to Trump and others, and then we did the indictment, and of course we send that in. But prior to that, we also had sent them information concerning the common law and some problems, and we're going to continue to do that.
Yes, and you know, specific to what you what he can do as president to clear the way. Yeah, because if you're really specific, and because he's, he doesn't have the best advisors.
And, when it comes to the law. As far as law that controls the presidency, he's got great, great people. They really understand and know those codes and those, and the regulations that he's under. He's under particularly, you know, U.S. codes, and so they're very good in advising him. He knows what his power is, so that's good. The problem is he doesn't have anybody on the law level. That can advise him on the law of the land. These lawyers may think that they know the law of the land. They only know the partial part of the law of the land, really, which is the equity side of things, which also is under common law because it's under the common law rules. But they don't really understand the difference, it seems, between law and equity. They think we're under civil law, and they apply, you know, USC 18 and USC 28 and USC 26, those three particularly, against the people, okay, when they can't be applied against the people. And they call that civil law. It's all they pushed it all together, you know, so they can use any code at this point.
But it's a problem. Absolutely. And one thing that I remember when I first started listening in to the calls on Monday, I remember you mentioning that there was just kind of like a, you spoke of some like a timeline of how everything happened in, 1934, when they changed the courts in
1934, you're right, with the rule, which was the Rules Enabling Act, which gave power and authority to the United States Supreme Court to make their own rules, ultimately to all the courts. Every one of these judges make their own rules, by the way. At least here they do in New York. They all have did you read my rules, you know? Who cares about your rules, you know? I'm under the rules of, and of course I don't talk like that to them in a court, but that's my attitude, at least inside me. But look, they try to apply these rules. Now, 1934... the Congress had no power or authority to, first of all, they don't have the power and authority to give away their authority. We vested them with the power to legislate. That's what their job is. They do not have the power to pass that legislation on to another branch of government. That they don't have to begin with, number one. Number two, they had no power or authority to even consider themselves to write rules court rules, nor, of course, to give it to the courts to write their own rules. So all of that is null and void. It's repugnant. It's unconstitutional.
I think of something like that. You explain to President Trump something like that, like what you just explained to me. They bring it back have. Because. Okay. Well,
I already
yeah.
have. As a matter of fact, let's look at this. You know, as far as the violations, I'm not going to read through all this because we read through this. I think it was last week. But look at, and we sent this to Trump, and this is what the courts have done, and this should make his eyes open wide, okay? Because what they did to him in court, he needs to understand they've been doing that to us for a very long time. This is nothing new to us, okay?
And he knows
anybody
and
that's
he
been
does,
in court,
yeah.
But look at, they've abrogated the law of the land. They abrogated the rules of common law. They stacked the juries through intrusive questionnaires. They stacked the Pettit juries. They convicted people for wrongful prosecution, the abuse of powers and subversion, for adding to grand jury indictments without our permission. They'll go get an indictment, and then they'll add things later on. And there'll be a whole bunch of things. You know, for intimidating people to take a plea, for conspiracy against rights, and many violations on that, refusing to honor their oaths, refusing to pursue to give us their oaths, refusing to provide their bonds. You know, this list goes on. This is a list of all the violation. This is the federal courts, and this is true in all the courts anyway. But the federal courts, they demand a fee to access the courts. They demand a fee to move the courts. When someone goes in and is convicted of a crime, and they attach some big fine to them as well as a prison sentence, and then they take that money and they keep it. What's that all about? What happens to the injured party? Well, they just use that person to help get the conviction, cast them out in the streets because they don't need them anymore. You know, all this is evil. It's fraud. And any money that a court would collect in a particular case should go to the injured party.
No, I mean, that's exactly, because that's what happened to me. I was robbed, and then they took it to court so that they went after the thief, right? And it was like the state against the state versus that person, right? But they took the fine, and they had this person do volunteer work or whatever, 40 hours of voluntary service. Like, they weren't doing the voluntary service for me. It was voluntary service for the state.
Yep, that's right.
And because then the $250 fine went to the state. And then the only way that I actually got compensated is that my husband wrote a letter to the thief and said, you need to make restitution and set things right. And so that person actually sent me a check that actually did clear to cover the cell phone that they stole. So that the only reason why I got compensated is because my husband wrote a letter to the thief. That the state didn't do anything except perhaps get the information that we needed to be able to send the letter to the person.
Right.
Other than that,
again, it, because they're all about the money. That's what they're in it for. This is a, you know, just a big cash machine for them. That's what our court system is. And, you know, if I was, you know, maybe violated in some way, and the person who violated me was being charged with a crime, and I came into the court, I'd come in under my own power and authority and write my own papers concerning restitution at the same time for whatever they're doing. Of course, look, that's going contrary to what they're doing. They're going to think I'm crazy. They're going to try to stop me or throw me out of the court, and I got to move it up to the, you know, go through the process of moving up the ladder. That's why we got to get on the federal level. We have to win cases on the federal level. That's the place we have to take back, because everything else is a slam dunk after that. If you can get the federal court to do the right thing and apply justice, then you can bring all of these courts, these lower courts, right up into the federal courts and get them to obey. So that's what we have to do, you know?
And where's this document that you're showing up right there?
Okay, this is the indictment right here, front page, first page of National Liberty Alliance, just a little bit down. There's a presentment and an order to the United States Supreme Court. I don't know if you've seen that. We read some of this in the past. Okay, it's 155 pages. And now the other document, which is the indictment. We also have an addendum. After we filed the papers, we had an addendum to the grand jury presentment to the United States Supreme Court. We had another 10 pages. Okay. But then the one I was just scrolling along here, this one here, this is the indictment itself, an extraordinary indictment, the true bill against the federal judiciary. And basically, we're executing our rights as laid out in the Declaration of Independence to have them removed. We have that right to have them removed. And they have to obey that right. You know, if this administration and this attorney general cannot recognize the people's authority as a grand jury, with or without their permission, and the right to have courts of justice, with or without their permission, if they can't acknowledge that, they can't see that, they got to go. We need to go after them. We need to go after the AG, if the AG, if she's not going to obey the law, and execute our right of indictment. And we have good charges here and evidence. I mean, we have a mountain of evidence here. You know, we laid out all these charges here, point after point after point after point, and then we laid out the evidence. Here's all our evidence we've been accumulating over the years that we've been working on this case since 2015, I believe, was the first one that we filed. And everything we've done is ignored. And it didn't matter whether we were in, you know, a federal court in Washington, the state of Washington, or New York, or Texas, or Montana. It doesn't matter where we are at. All these judges acted the same way, do the same thing, and ignore us. And that proves conspiracy.
Yes. Proves conspiracy.
That's the whole purpose of what we've been doing for quite some time now. Now we're just moving to the next step. The indictment and education. And we're going to pursue it. And we will dog the president that he needs to get rid of this attorney general if they're not going to obey the law and acknowledge the unalienable rights of we the people.
Yeah,
we didn't
Trump,
do that.
He,
I mean, Trump's a great guy. He's done everything right, but he's got to work on the courts.
This is exactly what he wants to do it. It's just...
Yeah, but I need to hear it. I haven't heard it from him yet, and I got to look for this. Again, if anybody is aware of this location, of this, whatever he said about the courts, maybe they can tell us. I'll have to hunt it out.
Yeah, he said constitutional court. And it was definitely today, and it was during one of the speeches after he was sworn in. And
yeah.
It was either the one in the rotunda or the one he gave immediately thereafter. He did another one, which is where he mentions, like, he said, oh, I wanted to say so many other things, so much else in my speech, but my people said, you don't want to mention that in this speech. You don't want to mention this in this speech. And he said, well, you know, so what he did was he mentioned it in this other speech that was, I remember he went down the stairs. So I think it was like below where he was under the rotunda.
All right. Well, I'll look around. If anybody sees it, they'll let me know, I'm sure.
It's the one with the white background. There was a huge statue, humongous statue behind him or something. It's white. I remember just it looked like a big white behind him.
Yeah, I'll take a look for that then. I think I recall that. Maybe I just missed it, what he said. Did he talk much or just something in passing, like something, a sentence?
He did quite... It was about the same length of time as the one that he did above, that he did.
Yeah, but I mean, how much time did he spend talking about courts?
Oh, it was just like a... It was a mention.
Okay, so
but
it's
the fact that he mentioned it even was encouraging to me. I think, yes, that he's, and he said, I'm pretty sure that's what he said, was constitutional courts, because that's what went through my head when I heard him say it, what he said.
Well, you know, wow. maybe he's reacting to our paperwork, we hope, or at least someone else's paperwork anyway.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking in my mind. It's like, wow, he's obviously... It's definitely in the right direction, and it just—I think he's—I mean, just like any—it's a learning process. It's figuring. You know, I had to really get my head around it and listen to. I had to listen to what you. I had to listen and listen in for. And I did the whole civics course civic study before I finally like, oh, it sank in, because it's a paradigm shift.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's very simple. Look, a common law in a nutshell. This is common law in a nutshell. Okay. Common sense. That's mm-hmm. it. That's what common law is. Nothing more, nothing less. Common sense. With an eye on justice, of course. Doesn't get any more difficult than that.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? We'll move on.
No, I just wanted to let you all know because I was very encouraged.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take a look for that. And, you know, I'm sure it'll surface somewhere. Okay, let's take our next caller. It looks like John, you got the mic. At least you should. Hold on a minute. I know Elizabeth is still there. Let me try this. I'm going to have to just unmute you. Go ahead, John. You got the mic.
Hey, John.
From Michigan.
Did you... I didn't listen to it, but supposedly he pardoned all the people in J6 people. Did you hear that?
I heard that part, yes.
Are they supposed to get out right away, do you know?
Don't know.
No, I've got a friend. I met the lady, but she was the friend of one of my good buddies, and she was down there. I was down there. So, I mean, whatever they're saying was happening down there wasn't, but... she was arrested, and she was on home confinement on an ankle bracelet for 2 years, and they threw her in prison. She's been in prison for a year, and just they've just been abusing the hell out of her down in North or West Virginia. I guess way up in the mountains, it's colder than blazes, and I mean, we're freezing down there. I'm just hoping she can get out.
These people should be rich. They should get rich off of this. You know, to spend time in jail is a huge, huge suffering. It's worth multi millions of dollars, because I would sue for every penny I can get off these people.
Yeah, it just I was listening to the judge on a call in you know, a Zoom call, and he was a bigoted bastard. That's the best way I could describe him. Okay, but I mean, it was just amazing. I'm just hoping that she can get out. I mean, she's not just a kid. She's 48 years old. She got 7 kids and about 10 grandkids. I mean, so she's got like 7 or 8 year old, and she's in jail, and they didn't do anything down there, John. I was down there. Nothing happened down there.
Yeah, I know exactly. I mean, the only problems really were the feds themselves trying to really push this whole thing, you know. But you know, I think we're going to hear a lot of the details over the coming days. Well, I know we're going to hear a lot of details, you know. I know Crossroads will get into a lot of this stuff. Anybody listens to Crossroads. I know also, for instance, X-22 is going to get into this stuff. And we know we'll get into this SGT report. And I'm sure Tucker will also. So there's quite a few. Those are a lot of the news people that I listen to and get a lot of my information from. But we'll get the details. I think it's going to be... We're going to have a lot of details over a long period of time. There's a lot of things he's changing immediately, especially when he gets all of his appointments approved. All those people he appointed. I mean, that's when things are really going to rock and roll. And that's when a lot of exposure is going to happen. That's going to reveal all the corruption in the FBI, in the Pentagon, the CIA. I mean, all of these agencies. So,
you know, the interesting down there, I mean, again, I was down there. Everybody talks about this J6. I said, you know, where were you at? Well, I wasn't down there. Damn it, I was. And that was a riot by the Capitol Police, what it was. I mean, we were out right in front of where they normally swear them in. And next thing you know, all of a sudden, a flashbang grenade went off, and then they were shooting rubber bullets. I got gas 3 times. I mean, the gas was coming across. Lethal was blown away, but I got gas 3 times. I was mad and angry, and a lot of people were, but I'm just telling you that whatever they said happened down there didn't. 99% of the people down there had no idea that anybody was inside.
And the people that went inside were peaceful. There's plenty of videos. There's no violence, nobody ripping things up, destroying things inside the buildings. They were just walking around like they were touring the building. And then the security within the buildings was leading them along and allowing them in. So there was, yeah, we know it was all BS, the whole thing. You know, we need to go after all of these congressmen that got together and made this big stink about it, and and carried out these false accusations and crimes and pushed it to the hilt to get this done the way they got it done.
Have you heard any more about the Brunson case on the whole thing from that 4 years ago now? Is there anything happening in that?
Well, the only thing I know that may be pushing soon is the fact that a lot of people don't have oaths. That's part of it. Now, there's other things, of course. I don't know what the status is on that. But, you know, we'll see if he's going to move on that, and he should be moving on that. They don't have an oath. They can get rid of a lot of people in Congress and have these people replaced.
Speaking of oaths, did you see that? Melania was holding the Bible. He never had his hand in the Bible. Did you see that?
I didn't notice that. No.
Yeah, might want to go if you. He didn't. She was holding the Bible and with that goofy hat. I don't. That's probably going to be some kind of a thing with like Jackie Onassis.
Where was his left hand then?
Huh?
He kept his hand at the side. Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, started the oath before Melania could get up there, and then she started. And there's no constitutional thing says he has to hold his
hand. Right.
Okay. Well, I just noticed that showed that, and she had the Bible up there. She was holding it up, but he didn't have his hand on it. I said, okay, that's interesting. I don't know if anybody else noticed that or not, but
yeah, I did.
Okay. Well, that wasn't my imagination.
I'll have to take another look at that. I didn't realize that. But Terry's right. There's no requirement to have his hand on the Bible to make this. That was something that George Washington did. He's the one who brought the Bible into play and put his hand on it as he took his oath. And it's been, you know, done ever since. And should be. That's the law of the land.
Well, speech after the inauguration, I just was watching Biden, I'm saying, just hit him again. Hit him again. Come on, darn it. Gosh, I hope it works out. I really do. that was incredible.
I missed that. Say that again.
So I was just when Trump was made a speech after he got sworn in, he was going up and down Biden, and Biden had to sit there and take it.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was a powerful, powerful speech he gave. I mean, whoever wrote that did a good job. Then he went downstairs, and one lady was saying something about the constitutional courts, but that was in the hall of statues or whatever like that downstairs, or someplace they built a big, about 10 years ago. It was a big open building, and I didn't hear what she said she heard, but I mean, I didn't listen to the whole thing either. But that was. He just rambled on a bunch more in that room on the thing, just like he does. He's just an automatic pilot. The guy's a genius.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking, you know, there's a U.S. code requiring civics to be taken, and I mentioned this earlier, but there's no real good course. I think we need to try to be the people who write this course. We need to be involved so that, you know, our children learn common law and court access and who we are as a people. They need to know this, and if we don't teach them this, then we'll be back here again.
Well, the lady before me was talked about that she took the civics course. I mean, of course, I took that about 3 years before you, and you did, whoever wrote that for the website did a great job. I mean, there's more information there than a person could, if they were on there 24 hours a day, they couldn't see that in 6 months. There's lots of information on that website. But that is a great civics course. That's if everybody knew that and understood it, this stuff wouldn't happen.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the key. You know, we have to be active in caring for our liberty, to protect the liberty. Only we the people can protect it. And if we allow ourselves to fall weak the way we have and have no knowledge, because you got to keep the slaves stupid, and that's what they've done, they kept us dumb. But in any event, if we're not executing these things, then they'll be executing whatever they want, to fill that void. And then when you try to take it back, they got the guns and you can't get it back, and that's the problem. we're going to come back here again one day. If the Lord doesn't come soon and time continues on, then we'll be back here again. It's only a matter of time, unless the people finally get up and start taking control of their government. We have government by the consent of the people. Let's get consenting, yay and nay. We have more power than we realize. We can control government on our local level. And together with committees of safety across the state and eventually across America, we can control our federal level also. But we can control our local level, we can control our state level, just working together with other committees of safety in our state. But we definitely can control our local level, and we can control our sheriff, our school boards, town boards, everything. We can control it all. We just have to get up and do it, you know?
I'm from Michigan, and the Article 1, Section 1, the very first part of the Constitution says, all political power resides in the people. And I ask people, I say, okay, how much resides in the people? They say, all, okay. I say, how much does the government have? If we have it all, how much do they have? And that's exactly it. It's governed by consent. And they can go pound sand. You know what I mean? They can go pound sand. I am so sick of this the stuff that's been going on. And I'm just seeing people getting walked on. I'm about ready to we'll see what happens. But this is crazy.
Well, in the beginning of the Constitution, we the people ordained and established, so we're the kings, we're the ordainers, we're the sovereigns. We vested them, that's the word we have in there. We vested Congress with power, we vested the administration with power, we vested the courts with power. So we're above them, and any decision made in a court of law, which is a common law court, which is a court run by the people, even the United States Supreme Court can't change that decision. Unless rights was violated, and that's a different story, but go ahead.
You talk about common sense. I mean, that's the maximums of law, but you got all kinds of maximums. You know, water runs downhill. That's a natural law. That's, you know, a man is worthy of his hire, innocent until proven guilty. All those things are maxims. They're all, and everything is based on it. Just like you said, it's common sense. And they're, you know, I was watching some of those videos the other day about, you know, the LGBTQ XYZ, whatever the heck it is, you know, and there's 15 different genders or 50 different genders, and then they were talking about abortion and they were just walking away around that. And I said, you know, you're killing babies. You're killing babies, and you're using it for, you've already made your decision when you got pregnant, okay? And if we would make the men responsible for actions, and a lot of things are straightened out in a hurry, but we got to get it straightened out because we're going downhill in a hurry, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, again, all that I think is done now. I mean, Trump was clear, that's gone. And he's got rid of it out of the military, you know, all that craziness.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, I think Congress made a move on this too, concerning men and women sports. You know, I think Congress just made a move on that just today also.
I got to tell you this, and this is the other thing that really irritated me. The lady that was thrown in prison for January 6th, she's down in West Virginia. They have more than one men identifying as women in there, and I mean they're having sex down there, and she was talking about you can walk into a room, you know, and I'm going, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? They have thrown men into women's prison down there.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's insane. I'm going. I'm sorry. I'm a bit upset. I'm just hoping that she gets out right away, and I hope that she sues them for everything that they got. I see hope anyway. How's that sound?
Yeah. Well, again, you know, all of this is repairable now because common sense is really coming back in, and people are starting to get their common sense back. You know, people have been confused a lot. You know, really confused, but again, I think it's moving. It's going to move through the system very quickly. Common sense is going to return, and all these crazy things are gone. I mean, I just from what I've been hearing today and constant everything that Trump would bring this up, and the crowd went wild, and Trump bring that up, and the crowd went wild. These are all things that he's executing right now. You know, so that's a thing of the past now. We're not going to have a problem with that anymore. I don't believe. look at those people are psychologically disturbed. They have a psychological problem, and they need help. They need therapy. You know, by giving in to them is only feeding into their insanity, their delusions.
One last question, I'll let you go then. Is this devolution?
Well, devolution has not really played out yet. It's coming. Devolution is when the military makes the move. And now that he's president, it's even more powerful and more obvious. I thought it would have to happen before, but I guess they didn't push it to that point where the military had to make that move. Because I've heard when Cute spoke on a few occasions that there were tripwires out there. There's certain things happen, the military has to move. And I think we've come a lot of quite close. I think these fires out in California is something, but how do you deal with that? You know, what they did in Hawaii was something. What took place down in the Carolinas, that they didn't take care of the people through the storms. All of this, I think is warfare. I think they used Harper to gear those storms, lead those storms down there in the south here. Military is going to make a move. It's got to make a move. I think what's going to happen, this is how I think it's going to play out. You know, now that Trump's in the office, something may happen, and they may be really preventing a lot of things from happening. I think there was going to be something happening in Washington, D.C., and everything was moved indoors. I was so happy to hear that because I thought something was going to happen. And once they moved indoors, whatever they were planning maybe was, thought. But, what I think is going to really play out here is we're going to get people moving into these different agencies, okay? The FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, Homeland Security, and we're going to start to discover. And also what took place, we still, after all this time, we still don't know anything. They told us nothing about the assassination attempts. They revealed nothing, okay? They kept saying, we're still investigating. We can't talk about that. That's a bunch of BS, okay? In any event, they still haven't revealed anything. Now, all that's going to be exposed. I also think all of these things with pedophilia and also with the sex trades outside of pedophilia, I think all of that's going to start to pour out into the public. And when that starts to pour out into the public, I think that's when the military is going to have to make some moves. Now, the military is already on standby, and they're going to be used, of course, so we're going to get used to seeing this across America, because they're going to be used to start removing people out of this country that came in illegally. So we're going to see that going. We're going to see all these things happening, and the people are going to get angrier and angrier when they start to realize how bad it really is and what these people have been doing all this time, just ripping us all off. And a lot of people don't understand that their rights are gone. They don't know what's going on in the courts. They have no clue. They don't understand this. They get caught into the system, that's when it'll hit home, for them. And that's why everybody should know how to get into a court and take care of their business. Everybody. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I've heard there's like 30 million illegals in the country right now, and that'd be one out of every 10. So you start counting people, go to 10, chances are one of them is illegal, okay? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
How many do you think there are? I know I heard a lot of different numbers. I've heard recently, the lowest number is 11 or 12 million, but I've heard a lot higher than that.
I heard 30 million.
How many?
Over the last 15, 20 years, about 30 million, which is about one out of every 10 people.
Well, that's a lot of people, then, yeah.
30 million people in this country, and about 30 million of them are illegals. That doesn't mean they're bad, but they all came here legally, okay?
Hmm.
And I got a sister-in-law and a brother-in-law from Mexico, and they came in legally. They're naturalized citizens, and that's an insult. It's an absolute insult to them to go ahead and put somebody else in here.
That's
it's an insult.
Yeah, well, again, they had a plan. It was a plan to destroy America. They failed, and I'm glad to see it happen the way it happened. I knew things were going to get better as soon as I saw Trump coming into play back in 2016. But prior to that, I was just ready to lock and load because I didn't see any escape out of this. So, but anyway.
There's other people online, but yeah, thank you. I've just had the vent. I'm just hoping that they can get the J6ers out of jail, because some of them never even been indicted yet. So it's crazy. They've been in jail for 4 years with no charges against them.
Well, that's a violation too. Look at everything they've done is a violation. These people, you know, they should understand to be able to pursue these people and get compensated, heavily compensated.
Well, they ship the illegals out and they get all those innocent people out of jail. They have plenty of jail cells for them.
Yeah.
Plenty of jail cells. And there's a whole bunch of short rope parties. That's what we need.
Well, I know Sheriff Mack is moving, trying to move the sheriffs to get involved, working with the president and working with Homeland Security and, you know, the guy the borders are or whatever. What's that guy's name down on the border that they put in?
Sherman, I think. I believe it's Homeland. Yeah, he sounds like a good Joe.
Yeah, well, again, you know, Sheriff Max already made connections to try to move the sheriffs into doing things and working. And they can, of course. There's a sheriff's in every county. And I'll tell you what, I think we should empty the jails out because most of those people don't belong in there. They've all been put in there without due process, a lot of them for code violations. And that's no breaking of any law. So those jails should be emptied out and made room for these people that need to be moved out of the country.
Well, I'm good friends with Darleaf up here. I'll talk to him too then, so.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else, John?
All right. That's all.
Thank you much. Yeah. Okay, we'll take our next caller here, and if anybody else wants to get in the queue, this is our last caller, and we do still have about 20 minutes left, so. But okay, Ross, you got the mic. Go right ahead, Ross.
Hey, John. Yeah, that protest, the another luncheon, he mentioned it, so I actually did watch it to see what he said.
You said I mentioned something? What?
No. You know, previously he mentioned the constitutional courts or law courts, per se.
Oh, yeah, the constitutional courts, yeah.
Yes, he probably mentioned it at the inaugural luncheon.
At the inauguration? He mentioned it at that point in the inauguration?
Yes, at the statutory hall.
All right, I'll definitely take a look at that and see. But I'm sure I'll find it, or someone will probably email it to us, and we'll find it. So.
Yeah, I'm sure you watched that myself. See, I didn't even watch it. Yes, I believe we need to do the work. The public servants can help us. It's just we don't know anything about the common law because they are mostly attorneys at law. So they don't realize at law means at the common law. They think it's at the civil law.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they believe it is. They believe it's civil law. They believe that's what we're under. You know, I've talked with plenty of attorneys. They think we're under Roman law, civil law. And some of them will say that the common law is they use the common law. They claim the common law by using trial court decisions, which is no law at all. But then they give that a lot of weight, okay? And there's so much abuse in the trial courts that they got all kinds of things that they can use as they claim to be law. And, you know, I quote a lot of federal cases, particularly Supreme Court cases, but also some state Supreme Court cases in the cases that I write. And so they're all up a level. And they will use trial court cases to try to rebut, you know, whatever I have to say and put that above. You know, the United States Supreme Court or a state Supreme Court. This is what they do. They use this. I see the lawyers all the time writing their cases saying that this case went that way, therefore this case should go that way too, and it's a trial court decision, you know. And again, I use the United States Supreme Court and the state Supreme Court just to establish the law, that they're in agreement with the common law in whatever decisions that they make that I've discovered. And that's what I use them for, to make my position of law, to support law, you know, not to support an action or a situation like they do, you know. So, but in any event, this is what we're up against.
And I think me and my sister and I and my mom talking, if we maybe if focus less on politics and focus on like my internal life instead of focusing on earthly things.
You're saying we should focus on eternal life than focusing in on earthly things? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Well, I totally agree with that. I mean, that should be our priority above all things, God first. So, and there is, you know, I agree with that statement. So.
Yes, this because eventually the U.S. government will come to pass anyways. And Jesus Christ returns anyways.
I missed that last part. Jesus Christ what?
I say the governments around the world will come to pass before Christ returns.
Yeah, I'm not getting you on that, Ross. Try it again.
You can't hear me?
No, I'm hearing you. I'm just not getting what you're saying. Try it again.
I was saying all the governments across the world will be done by the time Christ returns, because there'll be eternal government instead of all these U.S. government, U.K.'s government. They be gone.
Well, look at, I don't want to get too much into this kind of a conversation. We do have a Bible study that we can talk about these things, but I'll make a note or two. You know, government is going to be, Isaiah 14 is clear that before Christ comes, government is going to be judged, nations. Nations are going to be judged. And of course, the kingdom of Satan at the same time. I think we're watching that. We're going to be starting to watch that right now. I think that's what's going to, you know, this whole world is going to come together. That's what is going to happen. I can see that clearly. And Revelation does not say what people think it says. But with that, if you want to get into those conversations, Wednesday night is Bible studies. That's where we can have that kind of a conversation.
What time? Is the Bible study like 6 o'clock outside my time?
Yeah, the Bible studies are 7:30 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesdays. You can find that under Education Starts Here. Come down and click on Bible studies right there, and you can see the Bible studies we've done and recorded already. We're working on Matthew right now, so if you clicked on the Gospel according to Matthew, that's what we're studying right now. You'll find all of the studies we had. We posted it from part one on top going all the way down. So let me see how many studies we have in Matthew already. We have 42 parts already. And I think we're in Matthew 18, I think. So, and I think Matthew...
I think you got 43 parts.
28 chapters, huh?
I think you got 43 parts.
43? No, I see 42. Oh, I do have 43. Maybe that was misprint. Maybe that should have been 40. Ah, I wrote 42 twice. I'll have to fix that.
So. Please do, and I'll
fix it.
I appreciate
that. I'm sorry, say it again, Ross?
I yield.
You yield?
Yes.
Okay. All right, appreciate that. Let's see, we do have another person in the queue. Let me just save this. All right, I fixed that. It's now number 43. We have one other caller coming up. So next caller is Brett. Brett, you got the mic. What state you from? It looks like Brett Moore. Maury. Anyway, your mic's open. But meanwhile, while I'm waiting here, again, just to make that mention. So Gospel of Matthew is what we're in. We're, I think, chapter 18, and I believe there's 28 chapters in Matthew. So we probably have maybe another 8 or so, maybe, lessons to finish that Gospel of Matthew. Okay, last caller there. You got the mic. Not hearing you talk. Brett. Okay. Nothing. All right. Anyway, Terry, Jan, you guys have anything?
I want to encourage everyone to go to Patriot Soapbox on DLive or Vaughn.live on Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, because Gerard and Ollie and myself and a couple other folks are on there, and we talk about the NLA, we talk about common law, and we try to educate everyone. So
this is it here.
That's it. That's one of them. The other one's on
11 o'clock Eastern Time, I believe you start.
Yes.
11 to 1.
Yes.
On Wednesdays.
On Wednesdays.
Yep. Yeah, I try to listen in as much as I can also. Okay. Let's see. We got another Brett maybe coming in on the line. Brett, you got the mic? Brett? Brett? You got the mic. We got 6 minutes if you have anything to say, a comment to be made, question. They must be having a problem with their mic because it looks like they're coming in twice trying to get into the queue. But I'm not hearing anything. All right, well, I guess we're going to close down. We're pretty much finished. Anybody on our front page, if you haven't read our papers, you should read our papers. And last week we did read through this paper, so you can listen in on YouTube or on Rumble. And also, anybody that's not supporting us, we'd appreciate some support. We ask for people to give us $5 a month or more to support what we're doing. Help to keep the lights on, so to speak. So, okay, I guess we're going to end with that. Let me make one last call for Brett. Okay, nothing. All right. Thanks, everyone, for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Good night, everybody.